Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to another episode of the Bird Gang. Me and Mark Milano will be talking some Eagles, some Flyers, maybe a little bit of Phillies, and possibly Sixers too, mostly the first few. The franchise tag period in the NFL started today. A lot of talk around whether or not Eagles wide receiver, number one wide receiver, I should say, Jeremy Maclin, will be retained by the team, whether that be a new deal or if he'll be franchise tagged. He was actually inducted into the Missouri University Hall of Fame on Friday night, and he reiterated at that ceremony that he wants to remain as an Eagle in this offseason. Contract negotiations between Maclin and the team have dragged on longer than anticipated, but the two sides are still expected to reach a deal before free agency, which starts, I believe, in the middle of March. If they cannot come to an agreement, the Eagles are expected to use the franchise tag on Maclin. Maclin will almost certainly be in Philadelphia next season. Mark, what do you think? Do you think the Eagles will keep Maclin? Will he be franchise tag? What do you see happening with this deal?
I think they'll keep him. I think they'll realize that he's too valuable to not keep on this team. He's number one wide receiver on the whole NFL, so I think we'll get a pretty nice long-term contract.
You see it be, how many years do you see it being? Do you see it being like a 1 or 2 year deal or a pretty extensive one and a whole lot of money?
I see it being like a 5-6 year deal, going upwards about like 60-70 million.
It's pretty interesting because a lot of people didn't think he was the number one receiver after DeSean Jackson left a year ago. But I think he had a really good season. Mind you, he also played under two quarterbacks when Foles got injured. Mark Sanchez came in, as we all know. Actually, Maclin in May is going to be 27. So if you're thinking of giving him a 5 or 6 year deal, that'll end, assuming there's not a buyout, in his early to mid-30s. So we'll see what happens with that. Also, some news, I should say some speculation. First of all, Nate Allen, actually, he's not expected to re-sign with the Eagles, according to reports between the front office, but that's just speculation. Same with defensive back Bradley Fletcher, and also linebacker, outside linebacker slash defensive end Brandon Graham is reportedly seeking a 4-year contract in the neighborhood of a $30 million deal with $20 million guaranteed. He was the 13th overall pick in the 2010 draft, and he's been considered a bust, but with the new scheme under the 3-4, he's trying to adjust a little bit. What do you see happening with Graham? I think that's a pretty high deal. Overpaid for him. I don't think he's anywhere close to being worth it, that deal. And actually, a few months, he's going to turn 27 as well. Do you see Graham coming back?
No, I don't think the Eagles will pay him that money. I don't think he's worth it. I think they're going to go out and sign Worlds from Pittsburgh. I'd pay him that $30 million deal if I were the Eagles.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think he's going to return. If he is, he's going to have to lower his standards. And actually, some news today, not speculation. Nate Allen, who I just talked about, was arrested this afternoon in Fort Myers, Florida. No other details are available at the moment, so we'll kind of run with that, with those news as we hear more about it during the week. But he's been a problem for the Eagles last few years in the secondary, so I don't know. That may be a problem depending on what happens. So, and also with Nick Foles, do you see Nick Foles coming back next year? Because he said he wants to be an Eagle when he went to the Super Bowl in Arizona a couple weeks ago. And I obviously, you know how I feel about that. I think he should be the starter. I think he should remain an Eagle. Sanchez is a good backup, but I don't think he's nothing more. He was decent when he started, and I don't know about what's going to happen with Mariota, but what are your thoughts on Foles?
I mean, the more, probably about a couple of weeks ago, I'd say the Foles clear coat would be the starter next year for the Eagles, but the more I read every day, the more I look at ESPN every day, I see these new reports on saying the Eagles are going to try to trade up for Mariota, a chip on Mariota. And in doing so, they'd have to give up Foles for that. So, I don't know. I mean, it wouldn't have shocked me if Foles was not here next year. But, you know, I definitely want to see him around.
And obviously Foles, in his second year, second 4 years starting, obviously we all know what happened in his first year, one of the best single seasons for a quarterback in NFL history, let alone in the Eagles' history a couple years ago, but had some setbacks last year, between injuries and just statistically. He actually, when asked if he expects to return as Eagles starter in 2015, he responded, "I plan on being in Philly. I only listen to the people at the Eagles facility," Foles said. "Coach GM Chip Kelly is the one that will make the decision." It's certainly notable that Foles wasn't unequivocal when asked if he'll be starting, and he's also heading into the final year of his rookie contract. So things are definitely up in the air. I think we both can agree on that. And Foles, I think if he comes back next year, I can see him bouncing back after the year he had this year. 13 touchdowns, 10 interceptions, so didn't have a good of a ratio TDs to interceptions. And, you know, he's getting up there in terms of, he kind of regressed as far as completion percentage. And he's 26. He just turned 26 about a month ago. So it'll be interesting to see what happens with that. A lot of people were speculating that they'll get Mariota, but I guess time will tell whether that happens. What do you see happening with LeSean McCoy? He's not open to a pay cut. This was reported at the end of January. He said that he's open to restructuring his contract, but a straight pay cut is apparently out of the question for McCoy. Quote, "I know how hard it is to keep a team together. I want to be part of this team next year," McCoy said, "but I don't want to take less money." With that being said, he's due to make $9.75 million, let alone in 2015. He will count $11.95 million against the cap. He signed through 2017, so any restructuring of his contract will likely involve kicking in some guaranteed money to 2016. Only $1 million of his 2015 salary is guaranteed, but the Eagles would have to take on $4.4 million in dead money to cut him loose. I don't think he's going to take a pay cut. What do you see happening with him? Is his contract going to stay the same just because they're trying to free some cap for the free agents? What do you see happening with McCoy's contract this offseason?
I see the Eagles paying him. I think you have to. He's arguably one of the top three backs in the league, and I think he deserves his money. I don't want to see what happened to T.O. happen to Sean McCoy.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens. Going back to the quarterback situation, progression-wise, what happens with third-string QB Matt Barkley. If Foles get injured and Sanchez is injured or not playing well, be interesting to see what Barkley can do, but I don't want to go too far into to the future. So we'll see what happens with that. Also, Eagles linebacker Trent Cole, it's kind of interesting. Next year, it carries an $11.6 million cap. The Eagles can save over $8 million by releasing him. The expectation is that Philadelphia will move on from Cole, who's 32 years old. They were initially concerned about his ability switch from the 3-4 scheme, which I mentioned earlier, to the 3-4 under Chip Kelly. Now he's a stand-up edge rusher, but he pulled it off and received extremely high marks this past two seasons. He registered 14.5 sacks the past 2 years, but the Eagles want a more explosive player to slot in opposite Connor Barwin. What do you see happen with Trent Cole? Because all signs point to, at least reportedly, them releasing Trent Cole and freeing up some space for a younger guy.
Yeah, I think they're going to release him. He doesn't have really that much value as he once did, and he has such a huge cap hit that I think that in a factor his age plus his playing ability is on a decline. I think they're going to look for somebody more explosive and younger.
Yeah, Trent Cole is actually, you know, he's been really good in Philadelphia. He's been here for a while, good stand-up guy. So it'd be nice to see him come back. From a business standpoint, it wouldn't make much sense because he's owed a crazy amount of money, as I said. And in football terms, he's getting up there in age. He's over 30, and he's in a position on the field where he's getting – there's a lot of physical contact, to best put it. So his sacks have gone down the last few years, although he's been pretty healthy. He started He's only missed one game in the past 3 years, and overall in his career, he's only missed 3 or 4 games total. So he's definitely been an Iron Man. So we'll see what happens with that. As for linebacker Marcus Smith, former Eagles assistant coach Trey Thomas, and player, I should say, said some of Smith's rookie struggles came down to his lack of strength. Thomas was quoted as saying he's definitely going to have to get a little stronger out there because when you look at even his body type, he has the build of like a high school athlete, young college athlete, Thomas said. He needs to put on about a good 15 to 20 more pounds so he can execute better and be more effective at his position. He was the 26th overall pick in last year's draft, and he registered 0 tackles and played only 74 snaps during his rookie season this year. That was reported about a week ago. What do you see happening with Marcus Smith? He's going to be 23 in a month from now, a month and a half, I should say. He's 6'3 and 251 pounds, so Thomas thinks he should be in the round 275-280 weight range. So do you see him being effective this year, or do you think it'll take a few more years?
I think he's going to be effective this year. I mean, he spent the whole year on the bench, on the sideline, just soaking up knowledge and information on how to play in the 3-4 defense. I like that they didn't rush him. You know, he's great in college. He had great upside in college. So I'm kind of interested to see what he's going to do this year.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens if they tag, franchise tag Macklin, what they're going to do with some of the guys like Trent Cole. I'm pretty sure they're going to release Bradley Fletcher. God, I hope so. And we'll see what happens as far as Marcus Smith, if he can have a decent sophomore season next year. I think he's going to bounce back a little. I mean, the fact that he played so little snaps and the fact that Thomas believes in him despite him needing to put on a few more pounds is a positive sign. So we'll move forward into the draft before we move on to some Flyers talk. You had talked about to me, and I think on the show a couple times too, about the Eagles going for talent and need in the first round of the upcoming draft, which is from April 30th to May 2nd at the Auditorium Theater in Chicago. It's going to be on ESPN and NFL Network. The Eagles actually own the 20th overall pick. So you were talked about the Eagles drafting a cornerback. Kind of reiterate what you were talking about. Well, I forget which the name of the player was because I don't really watch college football, but you were saying that the Eagles should go for a corner over a quarterback in the first round and fill that void at corner over Fletcher.
Yeah, I think they should go after Trey Waynes out of Michigan State. You know, he's somewhat of a big corner. He's arguably the number one or number two corner in the draft. Now, he's got a lot of speed. He's got good hands. And they need to fill a corner spot over a quarterback spot. So I think this year they go after Trey Waynes in the draft.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see what happens. You know, wouldn't be surprised if Chip Kelly goes with Mariota. But, you know, I think they should go for the corner rather than Mariota. And maybe if they get another first-round pick somehow, maybe they can get the other guy. Like, say they pick Mariota, maybe the corner will still be there. It'd be interesting to see what happens. So it should be a good year next year. Interesting, to say the least, whether it's Nick Foles or Mariota or somebody else behind center. So we'll switch to some Flyers talk a little bit. Me and you were watching I don't know if you were watching it, the Flyers 2-1 victory at Buffalo last night. Matt Reed and I forget who the other goal scorer was. Michael Roffel, thank you, who actually returned from injury. They scored the 2 goals for the Flyers, and they beat Buffalo, who's the worst team statistically in the East this year. So Buffalo played pretty well in that game. I would like to see the Flyers come out with more energy. They played lackluster at times. Their second period, in my opinion, was arguably the worst of the season. So they got lucky in that one. And actually, Phantoms goalie Rob Zepp, who was the backup / starter a couple weeks ago in the Flyers, was recalled back to the Flyers after he was healthy after an ankle injury, which sidelined him for about a week or so. And Flyers backup to Ray Emery, Anthony Stolarz, was demoted back to the Phantoms. So What do you think Zepp will do? Do you think he'll get some starts before Mason returns in relief of Emery, or do you see Emery being mostly the starter before Mason returns?
I mean, I'd go with a hot hand right now. Emery's playing great, so why take him out if he's playing great, you know?
Yeah, and actually Matt Reed and Braden Coburn returned last night, and there were a couple of scratches too. Zach Rinaldo was actually a healthy scratch. Koliakovo, I believe, was too, and there was one other. And the one goal, I believe, was Raffles. Delzato had pitched to him behind the net. They were getting some good forechecking, and Raffle kind of surprised the Buffalo goalie, and they had some good forechecking at times. But you think that they're still in the playoff hunt. I want to throw out a stat. I believe it was Sam Carschetti, which is a Flyers beat writer for the Philadelphia Daily News. This was on his Twitter page. He said, according to HockeyReference.com, the Flyers have an 11% chance to make the playoffs this year, which is up from the 0.7 percentage a couple weeks ago. That was reported today. There's a decent amount of games left. You still see them making the second wild card and leapfrogging both Florida and Boston for that last spot?
Oh, yeah, you can definitely tell. Boston's starting to tear off a little bit. They're starting to lose some games, and they got a tough schedule this upcoming week with a five-game road trip, West Coast trip, actually. And the Flyers are the hottest team in hockey right now. They've recorded a point in nine straight games. They've not lost a regulation game in nine straight games. I think 100% they'll go to the second wild card spot.
Hopefully the first line can bounce back, though. They've been having some troubles as of late. Voracek's only had a couple points in his last six games. Same with Giroux over his last seven. He's had, I think, three or four points in his last seven games. That seems to be a little bit of a worry. Are you worried there, or do you think it's just a temporary setback for the two?
No, I think temporary setback. They're two of the best players, not the best, but one of the best players in hockey.
Yeah, and by the way, score update, Boston at Calgary. Boston's beating Calgary 3-2. It's about 7 minutes into the third period. So hopefully Calgary can beat them, or at least Boston won't get a win so that we stay in the hunt there. I believe we're 5 points behind Boston. Boston coming into tonight's game versus Calgary, they've lost four of their last five games. We'll see what Calgary does. They're pretty good this year, right around where Boston is. So, I don't know. I think Boston's goaltending is better than the Flyers. Mason's been really hot, though. But overall, Vrask plays up to his potential, and their defense has been really good. Well, despite a couple guys they lost in the offseason, you don't think Boston has the talent to retain that last wild card spot with the Flyers? Because the Flyers, they're not getting much depth on offense. It seems like, Matt Reed's been injured. Simmons has probably been the best player outside of the first line. But Couturier, he's not going to score much, but he's been about average. Matt Reed's been below average despite his injury. Same with Umberger, same with a few other guys. So you think Boston's a better team, or do you just think the Flyers will make it because they're hotter right now?
I think they'll make it because they're hot right now. They didn't have the same cup run they had in 2010. I'm not saying they're going to make it to the Stanley Cup Finals, but I think they'll be hot enough to get to the playoffs at least.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see what happens with Florida, too. They're kind of an under-the-radar team this year. And they both Boston and Florida have a game on the Flyers. Actually, and I think the Flyers' best chances to get in the playoffs would be through the wild card and not getting one of the top three spots in the Metropolitan, because the Islanders, the Rangers, Pittsburgh, even Washington have been really good this year. Actually, the Rangers, Pittsburgh, and Washington have been almost as hot as the Flyers. The Rangers are 7-2-1 in their last 10. Pittsburgh and Washington are both 6-3-1. And all three have just over 70 points. The Flyers are 12 points. Behind, 15 behind Pittsburgh, who has a third spot in the division. Would you think their best chances would be to get that wild card because the division's so jam-packed this year, full of talent?
Yeah, I definitely think it's going to be a wild card. We'll have to
do that. And Washington's
number two in the division now?
What's that?
Who's number two in our division?
I'll have to look. I think it's the Rangers or Pittsburgh. It's the Rangers. They're tied with Pittsburgh, but they have more wins in a fewer game. So Rangers are two, Islanders are one, Pittsburgh's three.
Okay.
Yeah, so, you know, if somehow we play Pittsburgh in the playoffs, that would be great. I think we have a really good chance of beating them. We have their number. Islanders, that could go either way just because neither team has had a feel for each other in the playoffs since we haven't played them in, like, 25 years, and we can't seem to beat the Rangers, whether Lundqvist is in there or not. Washington's actually the first wild card team of the playoffs started today in the East. They actually have 70 points, 57 games played, and 12 more points than the Flyers. And obviously, like I mentioned, Boston's the second wild card team. And Ottawa's right around where the Flyers are, too, so you can't overlook them, too. I don't think Columbus is going to stay in the hunt with Bobrovsky out for a couple more weeks. And obviously the Flyers can definitely help their chances versus a couple good teams coming up, including Nashville. And if they beat the teams they should beat as well in Buffalo and Columbus, that'll certainly help too. They squandered a few late period leads in the past five games, including the Islanders, and there were a couple other in there too that they could have got 2 points out of, which would have cut the lead between them and the Bruins. What do you think of Berube this year as far as what he's done? I thought he was good last year. A lot of times this year I didn't think he did so well, and at certain points I thought he should have been fired just because he kept switching up the lines so much. I mean, I realize some lines aren't playing that well, but in order to build chemistry, you have to retain the same lines. And also, I think we both can agree there that him benching Delzato at one point wasn't a smart idea, since I think we both can agree that Delzato's one of their best defensemen. So do you think Berube's done good or bad this year?
He's done average. I wouldn't say he's, I don't know. I still, no matter what happens this year in the playoffs, unless the Flyers win the Stanley Cup, they need to find a new coach because Berube, in my opinion, is too monotone, too laid back. Whereas Laviolette, before, was a get-in-your-face type of coach, a motivator that could change a game with just him taking a quick timeout, as you saw in that series against Boston. What I would really like to see them do is go after Mike Babcock, the Red Wings coach, who's going to be released from the team after the season, they said.
Wow, that's pretty interesting. I didn't expect that to happen. Berube is the type of coach, like you said, he's calm and collect, a good guy. Those types of coaches, assuming their team is pretty good and the owner and the GM like him, those coaches last a while and a lot longer than the screaming type like Laviolette, because the players like him and respect him, even though a lot of times the screaming coaches like Laviolette are more successful because they kind of get into the players' heads and motivate them more. So it'd be interesting to see what the Flyers can do. You certainly called it in terms of the Flyers getting hot. Hopefully they can ride that into the playoffs, and who knows, maybe they win a few series in the playoffs, sky's the limit. So we'll see what happens with that. And actually, we'll get into some Phillies. They're a few days away from spring training down in Clearwater. Still a lot of sources and reports that Cole Hamels is still being drawing some interest from a few teams. A source told WEEY's Rob Bradford that the Red Sox aren't remotely close to a trade for Cole Hamels. This was reported actually earlier this morning. Nick Cafardo of the Boston Globe reported on Sunday that the Red Sox had made a significant trade offer to the Phillies for Hamels, but according to the Phillies, at least by their standards, it wasn't enough and wasn't accepted. And he also said, the reporter said on Monday, that the Red Sox had made Philadelphia aware of the parameters of what the Sox are willing to give up in return for Hamels. The Rangers, Dodgers, and Cardinals are also interested and thought to be pursuing Hamels. Hamels was owed $96 million over the next four seasons, and he also carries a $20 million club option or $24 million vesting option for 2019. I think Campbell's is going to stay put until the trade deadline. Unless some team lowers the standards or the Phillies lower their standards, which I think there's a better chance of the first thing happening. Actually, the Phillies, if they want to really trade him, they're going to have to lower their standards. So with that being said, I think Hamels is going to stay aboard for a few months, probably into the trade deadline, assuming he's traded this year. What do you see happening with Hamels? Because I respect the fact that the Phillies want to get a good deal in return for him. One of the best pitchers, one of the best left-handers in the league, had a really good year last year despite his win-loss record, and was around the top five and top ten in ERA and innings pitched, strikeouts, et cetera. So do you think he'll be traded before the season starts versus the Red Sox, or do you think he'll stay the rest of the year, maybe until the All-Star break?
I think he'll stay here until the All-Star break at least, and then maybe some team will put up an offer to the Phillies or they can go ahead and get rid of him then.
Yeah, be interesting to see what happens. I'm actually looking at some other reports. Speaking of trade options, closer Jonathan Papelbon's also been on the market, and reports of him going to several teams has been thrown around, including the Brewers, the past month. And actually, 5 days ago, talks between the Brewers and Phillies regarding Papelbon are currently dormant, a source tells Fox Sports reporter Ken Rosenthal. The Phillies were only willing to pay a significant portion of Papelbon's salary if they received a top prospect from a team in return for him. Rosenthal said an idea that the Brewers didn't like. The Brewers offered to send Jonathan Broxton, who we all know very well, to the Phillies to balance out the salaries, but that idea didn't make much sense from a Phillies perspective. Papelbon still remains a candidate to be dealt, but it's looking increasingly likely that he'll open camp with the Phillies, as maybe Cole Hamels will too. What do you see happening with Papelbon? Because he also has a no-trade clause, and I think he can deny I'm kind of throwing this out here. I'm just taking a guess. I think he can deny, like, 20 teams from going there if the Phillies decide to trade him there. And a lot of fans, including myself, and I think you too, don't really like him, and I think he's overpaid and also has a bad attitude. What do you see happening with him this all season?
I think he'll stay put in Philadelphia until after the season. Then I think they'll just dump him.
Yeah, he had a pretty good year last year, and I think Jake Diekman Ken Giles would fit in well as a closer, or Jake Diekman, who has more experience, and the other would be good as far as the setup man, and has some pretty decent middle relievers too. What do you think of the prospects of Ken Giles or Diekman being the closer of Papelbon's traded? Do you think they could be good closers, or do you think it'll take them a few years?
I can see Giles being a good closer right off the bat. He's got speed. He's got the velocity to become a shutdown closer, to be the one that turns the batter. He's got a good slider, too. And I think Diekman's a good setup man to Giles, too. So it'll be interesting to see what they do, but I think I would love to see Giles become a closer next year.
Yeah. Ken Giles reminds me a lot of former Philly Billy Wagner. A lot of speed on his fastball, not as fast as Wagner's, obviously, but a lot of speed and a good slider, like you mentioned. And I think Giles, unlike Wagner, is a good kid, too. He just seems to hold himself very well. And he's a pretty young kid, too. He's actually 24. And he was actually drafted by the Phillies in the 7th round of the 2011 amateur draft. And he debuted last June. So it'd be interesting to see what happens with that. I think the major concern would be for the Phillies will be offense. I mean, whether or not what can happen with Ryan Howard, if he can hit pretty decent. The strikeouts are always going to be there. But if he can somehow balance out a little bit that contract, what Ben Revere will do defensively, if he can improve, I think it was good they got rid of some of the guys like Rollins and Bird, and they got rid of some of the starters too that were old and or bad, like Burnett, who I think retired. Actually, going back to Giles, in 44 games last year and 45 and two-thirds innings, he was 3-1 with a 1.18 ERA. He had walks and hits over innings pitch of 0.788, only allowed 5 hits per 9, and he struck out 12.6 hitters per 9, and he was voted the fourth best rookie of the year in that voting. So it'd be pretty interesting to see what happens with that. Papelbon's getting up there in age. He's actually he just turned 34, and he was drafted by the Red Sox in the fourth round of the 03 amateur draft. Though he's had a good career, and he had a good year last year. Actually, kind of, I want to say underrated because he's a well-known pitcher, but considering his contract and his attitude, I want to say that statistically he was kind of underrated last year. He was 2-3 with the 2.04 ERA, 66 in the third innings, 63 strikeouts, and only 15 walks. And this was his third year with the Phillies. And actually, I don't know. I think he could be a guy that could return to Boston. I can't remember who Boston's closer is, but Papelbon's owed a lot of money. He's actually going to he's actually set to be owed, and this year, $13 million and $13 million in 2016, and he has a $13 million vesting option that vests with 55 games finished in 2015 or 100 in the next 2 years. So be interesting to see what happens with that. And actually, like I talked about with Ryan Howard a couple minutes ago, we'll see what happens with him this year. What are your expectations for Ryan Howard? Do you think he'll stay healthy? And statistically, what do you see him doing?
I think he'll have a good year this year. I think he'll stay healthy. I think this is going to be his prove it year, where he's going to want to prove to the fans that he belongs in Philadelphia.
You see, he'll over or under 30 home runs and 100 RBIs. What do you see happening with that?
I see him having 35 home runs, 110 RBIs, with a 250 average.
He just turned 35. And he's still a defensive liability at first. The good thing is, if they were to somehow trade him and alleviate some of that contract, I think all signs point to, if they traded him, they'd have to eat a significant amount of his remaining contract. But if they were to trade him to an American League team, for his sake, he would be a good American League hitter. Wouldn't have to field, and he could just focus on his best the best part about him being a player, which is his hitting. Although he strikes out a lot, a lot of guys in the American League, their ERAs are not as low as National League pitchers. But last year, Howard had a decent year if you don't compare it to his contract. Although he led the league in strikeouts at 190, he had 23 home runs and 95 RBIs. Actually, not that good of a year if you look at his amount of strikeouts. The fact that he had under 30 home runs and his batting average, he had a 2.23 batting average and a .310 on-base percentage and 127 hits in 153 games played and just over 550 at-bats. You see him hitting better this year, and you see him being like the 3 or 4 hitter.
Yeah, I think he's going to be our four hitter, regardless. I see him having a bounce back here, having a pretty good year.
Yeah, when he's hitting, he's the best hitter in the league from a power standpoint. But the fact that his contract's so crazy, even though when he was the rookie of the year in 05 and the MVP in 06, he was making way under $1 million. He still has to perform in the next few years in order to at least somehow balance out and justify that huge contract. In 2015, he's set to make $25 million, as he is in 2016, and in 2017, he'll be 37 and he'll be set to make $23 million, which is crazy. and he has a $10 million buyout in 3 years from now. So earliest he can be a free agent is 3 years from now, which is kind of scary. I think the combination from a three to four punch standpoint between him and Utley could be pretty good this year. Howard could is hovering around 400 home runs, probably won't get that far, until a couple years from now. And Chase Utley is 36, and I was kind of surprised that they didn't trade him. I know he's had some injury issues, and he's obviously getting up there in age. He's been in the league for over a decade. What are your expectations statistically for Utley this year? Do you think he'll stay healthy too? Because surprisingly, considering his bad knees, he stayed really healthy last year. He played in 155 games, and in 2013 he played in 131. Last year he only had 11 home runs though, 78 RBIs, and a 270 average. Do you think he'll bounce back?
Yeah, I think he'll hover around 280, 290 for average. Maybe a little more home runs, around the same RBIs.
Yeah, I'm kind of interested to see what will happen with Ben Revere. He had a pretty good year last year. A lot of people look at how bad he is in the field. You know, he's fast, but his arm is one of the worst I've ever seen. And he doesn't really he doesn't have really good timing either. Do you think Revere is going to be a trade chip come the deadline?
No, he's the best hitter on our team. I don't think they're going to trade that away. He's also very young too, so I think he'll be on the team for a good while.
And actually, before we get into any more Phillies players news, I want to ask you about the standings this year, because we had talked about this off the show a couple weeks ago after the Nationals had signed former Detroit ace Max Serger to a lucrative deal back about a month ago. We were talking about whether or not the Nationals would retain the division title and whether or not they would keep Strasburg, considering how much money Scherzer is set to make. Washington was 96 and 66 for the division last year. Phillies were dead last at 73 and 89. You think the Phillies could be pretty decent, you said. Well, I think somehow they'll regress from last year, which they can't get too much worse, but I see them hovering around maybe 68, 69 wins, a few wins than they had last year. What do you see from a team standpoint this year? What do you see them doing?
They have trouble hitting the ball as they did last year. I've seen them being a high 60-win team. But when they can start hitting the ball a little bit, I think they have the pitching to be pretty average. I could see them going maybe 500 or a little bit less.
Yeah. I think it'll come down to whether or not the bottom of the lineup can produce and what will happen with the starting pitching, because they really have no – although starting pitching actually isn't all that bad when you take away. It'd be interesting to see what happens with Cliffley. If he can stay healthy, not only could he be good, but he could be a decent trade chip. Although considering his injury problems the last year or so and his age, he might not attract as many teams as he did previously, but he should be all set to go. I think he threw a couple bullpen sessions this offseason. Obviously, Hamels, assuming he doesn't get traded in the next month or so, will be back. And they're going to have a few other guys in the rotation, like Jerome Williams. Obviously, they lost Kyle Kendrick, who I think was vastly overpaid by Colorado. David Buchanan's still here, right?
Yeah.
And be interesting to see what happens with that. So, I don't know. I think the Braves will be pretty decent in the wild card hunt, but I don't see them competing with Washington with the 1-2 punch of Strasburg and Scherzer, or the other way around.
Atlanta being the second worst team in the major leagues.
Has who? The Phillies?
No, the Braves.
Is the second worst team in the league, really?
Yeah, they lost a lot of their bets this year in the free agency.
I haven't really been keeping track of them, but they won. Actually, they did worse than I thought last year. I thought they won in 85, 90 games. They were only 79 and 83, tied with the Mets. And I guess they lost some significant bats. I think the Phillies are still worse, though.
They lost
They lost B.J. Upton?
And Justin.
I think B.J. Upton's terrible, though, so that's not really matters to me. Justin Upton's a good athletic player, but those are the only two. What's that?
They lost Jason Hayward.
Oh, I didn't even realize that. I've been so caught up with the Phillies and the Eagles season and the Phillies offseason that I guess I haven't been keeping track of that. But I don't know, I still see the Phillies being worse than the Braves this year with that being said. So be interesting to see what happens with Jimmy Rollins in L.A. He didn't hit all that well this past year, .243, although he had a decent amount of stolen bases, 28 stolen bases, 6 caught stealing, and 17 home runs. So he'll provide the Dodgers with some power in the upper half of their lineup. Be interesting to see what Cody Ashe does, and as well as Mikel Franco, because I heard Franco has kind of regressed a little bit this offseason. Also, Dominic Brown, I think they should have gotten rid of him. He didn't really do all that well last year. He was not all that good at the plate. Hit .235 in 144 games with 10 home runs and 63 RBIs. And obviously the Phillies lose the power in the middle of the lineup in Marlon Byrd. What do you see happening before we wrap up with Dominic Brown and Mikel Franco? This year in the future, because I don't think Franco is going to play a whole lot this year. So in the next few years, do you see them doing very well?
I see Franco progressing in the next couple years. He's got a lot of upside. He's only 21 years old, so he's still got time to mature. And with Dominic Brown, I'd love to see him as a bench player, to be honest with you, coming off the bench and, you know, swinging some balls. I think Grady Sizemore has earned the spot to be a starter in left field.
Yeah, I was going to say, I thought Sizemore was a good pickup. I thought he was a good fit. I thought he hit pretty decent. And I thought they had some good pieces on the bench that could be better than Brown, just because Brown's just been all over the board and you're not really sure what he's going to do. A lot of times he seems to be like he's going to go in a good corner and he's going to improve compared to before, but then a lot of times he regresses. So, I don't know, we'll see what happens with that. It'd be interesting to see going forward with the Eagles, with the Flyers, if they can make the playoffs, and with the Phillies this year. I don't have many expectations for the Phillies, at least from a positive standpoint. So we'll basically wrap it up from there. Mark was supposed to join us, but I think he got caught up, and I'm not sure if we were having some technical difficulties because I wasn't able to get him on, but I want to thank him for at least making time to try to come on anyway, and I'm sure we'll try to have him on in the next couple of shows, as well as Ryan Waterman, who's been a frequent guest. He'll be back on in a couple of weeks, as well as a few other people. So unless you have any end comments, Mark, I want to thank everybody for listening and for joining us.
No, I'm good. Thanks.